You are listening to PLV Radio Network. Join us in celebrating all of life's possibilities. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Positive Living Vibrations with me, your host, and my guest today, Tizpora. Tizpora is a love and intimacy expert. She helps people return to a deeply intimate life, which may or may not include a romantic partner. She says it's all about making love to every moment and feeling safe doing so. She bridges sensuality, sexuality, and spirituality. It's all about finding that sensuality within ourselves, about tapping in to our senses, to the universe, to the vibrations, understanding that sexual feeling, which is all about that wonderful energy that drives us forward. And it's the lovemaking of self before the lovemaking of anyone else. She was recently on The Bachelor. She actually did an intimacy session with The Bachelor, and I don't remember which lady, I don't think it's the one he ended up going with, but helping them unblock some of the issues that they had there. So you got a taste of what she actually did, and you can look back on that episode. But we're going to be talking about today about the three S's, sensuality, sexuality, and spirituality, and how they actually do marry together in order to create a very interactive, passionate life. So very much welcome to the show, Tizpora.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
And I mean, the three S's, I do love that. You know, the sensuality is tapping into your senses, isn't it? Being aware of everything around you. That sexuality is kind of the way of expressing that sensuality. And bringing spirituality into it is bringing the honor of our soul, our heart, and our spirit into the equation. I love those three S's together.
Yes, and I find that how can we truly separate any of them, because, you know, spirit lives inside of us, and so if we're aware, right, we're able to bring that into every situation.
Yes, and I also like the fact that when you're talking about sexuality, you know, people automatically think it's the act, and that they don't realize that it is actually kind of a state of being with life, isn't it? Would you like to break down for us, in your own words, the sensuality, sexuality, and spirituality as how, as you see it, you know, working together?
Yeah. So, like I said a moment ago, the sensual part is, you know, how deeply aware and present and sensitive can we be, our sensory perception, to our feelings, to the way when we walk, our feet touch upon the earth, to the way we breathe, to the way we have a conversation. So then it changes that quality, right? Our senses are activated. The sexuality, it's a heightening of that energy. It's right. I look at sexuality, and you mentioned it, you know, it's not necessarily the sex, and it's true. Sexuality is what everything I see here is actually birthed from. It's this creative energy. And when we feel safe inside our bodies and safe inside, we can say our power spot is that energy which naturally moves through us, can move through us in creating our art, in the way we have conversations, in our business life, in our purpose, in our life purpose. And the spirituality, I look at spirituality as one with who we are. It's not, a spirit is not outside of us. It's, again, that source that constantly moves inside of us. Some call breath, you know, spiritus in Greek, and that spirit constantly moving through us. And so when we have all those three open and flowing, and there's trust and connection, right, they're birthing this beautiful expression, which is what we are.
And that's the key. That is what we are. I mean, they're all beautiful energies that dance together, that kind of make us alive and make us actually interact with life, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And we mustn't be afraid of them. I find most people...
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that I find people who aren't sensuality turned on, they're not tapping into their senses. And sexuality has become something that people are so afraid of.
Yeah. You know, I find one, you know, what I've observed is living in a very over stimulated world, and right, and it's been conditioned that get overstimulated, reach outside of oneself to access those parts, and so the sensuality has fallen away because the senses have been deactivated. Sexuality has become this very, very physical, you know, only physical component. And all of the thoughts and judgments of what it is creating all this fear that right, and then people go into it with this even disconnect from their own spirit because there's so much, like I said, overstimulation that they're just not feeling anymore. They're moving from that fear place.
I mean, sex, just for the sake of sex, is so unfulfilling. You need the sensuality, the senses to be turned on. You need to bring the spirit into it because the heart can't activate until you do. And you know, I think people have lost the art of love making to each other, as well as, you know, being kind of sensually and sexually and spiritually, you know, interactive in their lives. They've lost that, as you said. They're overstimulated, and I think there's over expectation of what people should be, as opposed to tapping into what they really are.
Yeah, and then, you know, getting, you know, what I've come up against is working with people who have gotten so caught up in the performance part of sexuality is sex, right? And then it becomes a very mind-based thing, and it becomes this very codependent thing. Oh, I have to please this person. I have to do this. I have to do that. Versus, again, moving through that to let that down and let that go and actually come together, just feeling and allowing ourselves to follow the feeling, which is the senses and the sensuality, for whatever it brings.
Yes, I mean, because it's sad when we kind of see people, you know, kind of living this life of expectation, and they're just not going in. Everything is external, and they're just not going into themselves and truly understanding, you know, what the universe and, you know, their desires are calling. It's, as you said, pleasing everybody and living up to some expectation of what they should be and what sensuality and sexuality is, and disconnecting completely from who they really are.
Yeah, and there becomes this programmed part of, well, what, like, I don't even know what intimacy is anymore, or again, the intimacy just isn't safe, and I'm just going to stay with this very physical act because it's where I've conditioned myself to feeling really safe and cocooned because of that fear again.
I mean, we, you know, we talk about sexuality and people think it's an act with, you know, someone else. We talk about sensuality as being attuned. You know, we talk about also about people being so overloaded that they're just, you know, they don't know how to listen to themselves anymore. But as an observation, I truly are seeing people so and utterly and completely disconnected from themselves. You know, what is a way that they can bring themselves back? I mean, I see that you've do a great deal of training of integrated breath work and yoga practice and nutrition and massage, cranial therapy, you know, all of this. It's, there are so many ways to bring them back to life, isn't there? But I think most people don't realize that they're walking dead. I mean, that's the reason why that show is so popular, because people relate. You know, there are so many people out there just going through life and they're not even alive.
Yes, and it is interesting, and it is a process, because most people are just, they're living half dead, like they're living very numb, they're on survival. Usually it takes them, they get to a point to usually get to this edge, like, wow, I'm tired of this and I want more. I'm not sure really what that means or how to get there, but I'm gonna search it out, and I want to find that place. And you know, when I work with people, there's a point that we need to break through those barriers in order to access that vulnerable place again, where we can start to uncover and identify the core patterns, the conditioned patterns, and start from ground zero to build this, I call it kind of like Qigong of intimacy, start to build this deep level of sensory perception again from the ground up, like being born new again.
Do you find most people are defensive?
Are defensive?
Mm-hmm. Like they're defensive, scared to embrace the, the senses, mostly scared of intimacy. And it's just they've been let down in the past. They feel, is it something wrong with me? I don't trust people anymore, and they stop trusting themselves. They kind of go on the defense.
Correct. And I'll share a story is what comes to mind is I was 10 years old. I got my menstrual cycle at a very young age. I was 10. Recalling back, no one ever taught me how to be with that array of emotions that comes through a young woman's body at that age, how to be with my physical body, how to be with my sexuality, right? That's not taught.
No.
And so that to me is the starting point of the fear of protecting oneself, of not knowing how to deal with it. And so then, we go on in life, and then yes, there might be situations that we feel hurt or disappointed in certain relationships where we have opened up, and then those array of emotions come out again, and we still don't have the skill of how to actually be with our emotions and work with them and stay in that place of an open heart and feeling, and actually be in that place even in the mourning process, because I believe mourning is a sacred rite, and it's just as important. And so I believe there's a point that how can we develop, I call it an allyship. We can actually be allies with our emotions, all the things we've been conditioned that are bad. We're not supposed to express it. We're not supposed to feel it. But to actually start to feel it and have conversations with it so we can start to learn about ourselves and get more intimacy, which is really what people want, I find.
We've got to step out of the fear, don't we? Do I still have you?
Yeah, there you are.
Oh,
Yes.
yes. Sorry, we may have a little internet problem here. We have to step out of the fear, don't we? Because if we're going to stay in that fear, there is no progression whatsoever. And we have to face that. If we're so afraid to be even participants in our own lives, there's no way we're going to find a partner to be a participant with. It's realizing we're afraid and understanding what are we afraid of and what am I going to do about it.
Yeah, and I also find that the languaging I'll use is to actually step into your fear and have. I joke about this analogy that fear comes knocking on our door, and typically the first thing is we don't want to open that door. That's really scary. So we slam the door in fear's face and we keep fear locked up. But what if we open the door to fear and we actually asked fear what it needed and we brought fear in, had a cup of tea with fear. And soon fear would start to, wow, this person's listening to me. I don't have to be so scared anymore. And fears might start to shift to sadness. And then you're uncovering, you're identifying, you're getting to understand your needs and why fear is there in the first place. And as far as I know, and in my work, in my experience, that is really the truest way to finding integration and transforming that pattern is going into it and being with it.
Yeah, the identifying what the fear is, because most of the time people can't really pinpoint it. What are you afraid of? What does that fear represent to you? And it just seems to have just become fear. I'm afraid of fear, and it really, I think, kind of becomes that, because when it comes to, okay, this has happened to you, rather speak to what happened to you and release it, speak to it, identify it, what was good and what wasn't, and what you're going to repeat and what you won't. You've depowered the fear, but the more that we, as you say, keep fear out and we don't face it, the more it has consumption over us.
Exactly, right? And it's interesting because our minds, right, our fight or flight is completely natural. We feel fear, we want to run from it, but right, we're here sharing with people that the way to move through it is to actually run towards it.
And just, stop empowering it. And the only way to do that, as you said, is to face it and go and say, okay, what is your problem? Let's get to the bottom of this. Because once you identify it, you realize it's not as big a deal. You've made that mountain out of that molehill because you haven't addressed it, and it's just grown bigger and bigger and bigger until it's lost the identity of what it really was rooted at and has just become fear for fear's sake.
Yeah, and what I find is all fear wants is love, and by us giving it that conversation, if you want to call it a conversation, is the fear starts to feel our presence. It starts to feel love. It translates that as love, And then it can start to be like, wow, I'm safe now. I can loosen my grip and my control over you.
Yeah, and that's really, really, really important. So intimacy, you know, we talk about this a lot. So many people have an issue with intimacy today. And, you know, from my own journey with my own issues with intimacy, it really does start with ourselves, isn't it? You know, if somebody, quote, has done us wrong or mistreated us, very often we have invited that mistreatment, not knowingly, but because we actually haven't placed a high enough value upon ourselves. We haven't loved ourselves. So others don't know how to love us in our own light. You know, the reflection of our own love of self. So when we have intimacy problems with other people, it's because we have that with ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, how can we be with ourselves enough that we can be like, wow, what perceived imperfections, what all parts of myself can I embrace, and am I willing to allow myself to see fully and allow others to see fully no matter what it is? And that, when we're able to do that, when other people do certain actions that we might not agree with or you can say feel hurt by or disappointed by, we might be able to approach that differently in a place of, wow, I can actually put myself in their shoes and I can understand why they would do that, even though I feel disappointed and hurt. Because again, if we're able to go to that place, we can only go to that place if we can do it with ourselves first.
Yes.
And, right? And then if we're able to go to that point with someone else, it doesn't mean we might stay close to somebody else, yet you're still keeping the door to intimacy open because you've let go of your judgment. You've let go of that war, that defensiveness towards the other person.
I mean, we don't realize we're invitational people. And, you know, we can invite, you know, love and you know, that sacred intimacy with somebody, or we can invite the distrust and I'm going to prove myself right that you're going to let me down. So kind of what we vibrationally set out there is what we're going to attract, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And how often that happens in relationship. It's like we're not valuing ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't agree that we're worthy of this relationship. Or we do have that belief that, well, every time someone comes into my life, they're just going to hurt me and leave. And so right, that belief is there. And so we keep reprogramming that. And that's what happens.
Exactly, because you've invited it. So, you know, the old adage, you know, be careful what you ask for. So you have to be very clear on the love you have for yourself before you invite others to love you or able to love someone else. Because if you can't find that love within you, how do you know how to love someone else?
Yeah. It's all across the board. You know, we have to love ourselves for someone else to love us to that depth. You know, we need to know ourselves.
Yeah.
We need to, you know, what we like, the way we like to be touched, the way we like to have conversation, and be so clear in that we can actually share that with another. How can we expect someone else to do something to us or for us if we don't even have a clue?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it really is understanding that, you know, before you look for love in all the wrong places, you know, look for it within your own heart, soul, spirit, senses, sensuality. It all starts with you. Everything that you want out of life has to start with you, that relationship with self, isn't it?
Yes. I had a woman once doing a consultation with me, and she asked me a question that just stuck with me. She's like, will you help me fit into my marriage? And I said, no, I'm not going to help you fit into your marriage. And if you want to fit someplace where you might not fit, I said, I'm going to help you fit inside yourself again so you can understand and know yourself and be so empowered and you are. Then you can make very clear decisions and the relationships around you are going to align to who you are and your values and your ethics. And that's what we're talking about here.
Yes. I mean, you know, this thing of I need to find someone to love who loves me to define me. or I will find love of self through somebody else's eyes. No, you won't. Somebody can love you because they see something in you you don't see in yourself. But until you see that in yourself, that isn't an honest relationship between the two of you.
Yeah, because again, if we have certain, I'll call them masks, if we have certain masks up and certain personas that we're still hiding behind, is that other person truly connected to us to that level? What are we still hiding from?
Do you find that most people go into relationships for all the wrong reasons?
A lot. Again, I think it's conditioned. I think it's an interesting society where we get to a certain age, and that's shifting more and more these days, but we get to a certain age, you're supposed to have a relationship, you're supposed to get married, you're supposed to have children, and you're supposed to stay in that marriage forever. Yet if we can realize seasons, we're just like nature, we're constantly changing. And to me, the key is to go with that change, even within your relationship, because then it becomes, for the right reasons, it becomes interdependent, is the word I'll use, versus codependent, versus, right, the you complete me syndrome, the codependent you complete me, or versus, wow, we come together, and because we're so whole and enriched and empowered, we create this beautiful, masterful art piece by the fullness of what we both are versus you complete me.
We also have to allow in a relationship personal growth. And personal growth is going to come at different times in our lives. And if your partner, career-wise or in self-discovery, is does discovered something about themselves, you have to let them and let it inspire you to find something within yourself. If we try and hold people back, we're going to lose them.
Yeah, and that's that piece, codependency versus interdependency. And it's interesting because the old way, or the way that sometimes doesn't work, it goes more of a rocky road, is when we say the other person's responsible for our emotions, the other person's responsible for me being happy. My triggers, it's the other person's fault. They can't do what they love to do because I'm insecure, and that's, I don't want them to have that. Versus, wow, I love this person, and I want to uplift everything they love from their growth, from their spiritual evolution, from their life purpose, to what they find joy in. My emotions are my emotions, and now I can actually talk about them versus projecting and blaming and judging the other person for making me feel a certain way.
Exactly. And I think it's, and especially in the world today, because when women are out there with their careers, everybody has a career, everybody's invested in that. And when you come together in a relationship, you should be able to share each other's day, encourage each other in the journeys, professional journeys that you've taken. And sometimes there will be give and take where somebody has to move, and then it becomes a real discussion on that compromise. But I think people need to understand that a relationship is a partnership, and you have to invest in it and nurture it and really guide it just like you would any form of business, because if you don't, it's going to collapse. So you have to make sure that in your independent life, that life that you come together has its own kind of sacred ground.
Yeah, it is like a plant. And I also find it, relationships are always changing. And I find the challenge and the issue that sometimes happens is when people get in the relationship, they try to hold it exactly as it was when it first started. And that's just not actual. A relationship is always changing. It's going to evolve. We change, right? Every minute we are changing and growing. And so when we can meet our relationships in that way and always have communication, 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 where's the person at when things come up? Am I still here? What are my values now compared to what they were 3 years ago? And keep the open door to those conversations. That's what will nourish and allow that relationship to evolve like that plant, like that tree growing. Otherwise, it starts to suffocate.
Well, you've just hit on a huge big word, communication. Communication between people you love, whether it's in a relationship or with family or friends, is like water to a plant, isn't it? Communication, open communication without judgment, hearing one another, speaking to one another, not at one another, is absolutely key to any form of success of a relationship.
Key, totally key. And communication that we can, to the point, start to be, I use the word transparent, radically honest.
Yes.
Learn how to identify, what am I feeling? What am I needing? What's my story? It's not the other person's fault. And start to have this dialogue that people aren't feeling attacked, yet people are feeling, wow, I'm being vulnerable now. And, empathy is naturally starting to happen because of my vulnerability. I don't need to agree with this other person. It doesn't, because I don't agree with someone doesn't mean I don't love them. Yet I can clearly communicate that disagreement without, again, blaming them.
So let us talk about this very, 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 very popular movie, 50 Shades of Grey. What is your opinion on this movie? What kind of statement do you think it's actually sending out there?
Well, my opinion on the movie is the movie portrays, a man and a woman with some emotional, emotional things going on, the not being fully in their body, having some emotional overload happening and toxins. Wanting to, I find it, disempower each other, and they don't have the communication, they don't have the intimacy, and I'm not judging it as wrong. I don't necessarily have much, the right or wrong, but it's like, wow, how can I control this other person and manipulate them and take advantage of them when they're emotionally unclear in who they are? And so that's what I get from the movie. And it's portrayed to the world, I find in a world that, one, there's a lot of sexual repression, there's a lot of sexual even confusion, if we want to say, it's not necessarily assisting, I don't find it's assisting people in creating healthy sexual choices when you can, again, bring more presence and connection and love and communication to the areas of sexuality and still have it be wild and passionate with abandon and explore in that place. But it takes, again, the consent. It takes the communication. It takes the presence, which I find the movie had none of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the greatest gift you can give somebody is your vulnerability. You give that in trust, and you're exposed emotionally, vibrationally, physically, and you want to know that you can completely trust this person. And if they do want to lead you down another path to explore, they make you feel safe in exploring it. And sometimes I think women are always wanting to please and may go do things against their own comfort to please that man for the fear of losing them. And kind of, I didn't want the movie to kind of make women feel that, oh, now we've got to satisfy the male's appetite for this. Otherwise, I'm going to lose him. And I hope that is not a message that came across.
Yeah. And again, it's I love, what you said is there's nothing, but exploration is beautiful. It's part of our creativity. And when we can tune into our sexual desires and our passions, that's powerful and profound, and wow, how much more profound and powerful it can be when there's that trust, when there's that, wow, I know who I am, and I'm centered and clear, and we're coming together in very, very clear communication. There's consent there, and that's done in this bubble of love, and it's really beautiful, and it's possible, and it's beautiful. So, yes.
Let's talk about tantra sex. I know that Sting and his wife do it a lot and have been very open about it. And it's a lot to do with kind of being in sync with breath and being in sync with vibration and energy, isn't it? There's a lot of that breathing and connecting before even the touching.
The one thing in the tantric environment is you've let go of any goals. You've let go of any destination of where you're going, where typically often Western sexual intercourse is more, oh, can you get me off? Will you give me this orgasm? Or I want an orgasm. Tantric sex doesn't have that direction in mind. tantric sex that definitely uses various breath practices, various movement practices, various sound, all to access again that different, you call it like vibrational energy, to bring one to this level of presence, to activate more pleasure, and to meet each other in this moment, and then in the next moment, and then in the next. So you're absolutely present, and that actually intensifies the pleasure. Mm. It intensifies the connection, and it may or may not lead to orgasm, and often it leads to this, I call it this internal, this ingasm. It leads to this extreme opening, that connection's there, and then again, that need to have an external orgasm, it dissipates. There's no need there anymore because you're so profoundly connected in the moment.
Yeah, it's the really the sinking of the vibrations, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it is that vulnerable place. It's how much can we let go and let our guard down, because I just want to explore all parts of our being together.
And you can't fake it, can you?
You can't fake it.
There's no Harry Met Sally here, you know, because, you know, the other person would feel it. You're either intertwined or you're not. So there's no faking it. The other thing, of course, is the big word time. You know, if you are wanting to have intimacy with your partner, you have to set aside time and place and space to do it. You know, this whole thing, we've got kids now, so all we can do is quickies. You know, it becomes resentful. There is never any of that time to connect, or, you know, or why the kids are there in the first place. People really have to make that time to kind of allow each other, don't they?
Yeah. You know, it goes back to that plant, right? The relationship is a plant, and it always takes nourishment. I had a couple I was working with, and they did just that. They were married for 13 years. They lived together. They had a great friendship, yet that's what it turned into. There was no more intimacy. There's no more sex. They've become best friends. Their cell phones were always on when they were together. And they, you know, through working together, unwound that and came back to their intimate connection. Yet it's so easy for relationships. They become very habitual. So it's just a reminder to people. You know, my beloved just got back. He was in China for 2.5 weeks. The first 2 days that he's back, we hadn't do anything. We you know, enjoyed exploring in bed together, snuggling, going to yoga class. It was us reuniting and dedicating that time together. It's essential.
Exactly. And I think the other thing too is, you know, you've hit on something really huge, especially with women, the snuggling. The just being in someone's arms, that trust, those arms around you, being able to put your arms around someone with love and trust and not have to have sex. That, you know, you can physically touch your partner without it meaning, oh, let's go jump into bed. And, you know, I think that's something that's really missing. I love those intimate touches, the holding of the hand, the hugging. It doesn't mean you have to go rushing off to the bedroom.
Yes, and how many studies are out there nowadays that, you know, as a human being, touch is needed. It's essential.
Yes.
We have to have it. And again, coming back to the tantric way of moving in life, is that touching is part of that. And again, there's no goal to do anything with it, yet how can I be vulnerable and surrender so deeply into this touch?
Mm. Yeah.
And the one thing I just want to add to that, for people who are super busy and they're working a lot and they're super busy, your connection, the intimacy, the sexuality, the vulnerability is so important to your business, because it's going to bring you to this place of juicy creativity. It's going to bring in more vitality. It's going to bring in more presence and aliveness, which is your fuel for your life purpose and your work. It just is.
I mean, if, you know, I'm hitting on something modern here. I'm sure my kids would laugh. I mean, people have had phone sex, so called, and now there is kind of text sex. And it is a way of kind of building something up, of that connecting. And it, you know, doesn't have to be dirty. It's just little things that you can drop out of each other. You know, I'm thinking of the hand touch today, or your kiss did this to me. And it's little messages that you can send one another through the day that can kind of build up that connection, isn't it?
Yes, that's, to me, that's foreplay.
Yes.
It is. And again, it's just building up from the way that you passed by your beloved, from the way you gently, you know, caressed their skin from the phone call or the little text message, and continue it going, because that's build up.
And also, I think a very, very important thing is no matter your day, leave your day at the door. So when you do come in, you know that you're not bringing the angst of the day into the relationship. I mean, you can say, I've had a bad day, I need to talk about it, then it's gone. Or try and leave it at the door and even, you know, step away from it, because when you look back on it, it'll be much easier. You know, the spouse has had a bad day as well. And if all it is going to be bad days, then you're not going to allow any, you know, kind of loving connection in there, are you?
Mm-hmm. A couple takes on that is, one, if two people have had a really challenging day and they come home and they're not feeling themselves, you know, they're feeling a bit disconnected, make it a commitment to use compassionate communication and to start to talk about it. Take yourself to the garden, place yourself in I would call it a sacred place, or some place that really nourishes you. You know, take a cup of tea, commit that, just go have dinner and sit. And share with me what's alive for you. Share with me your challenges. Let me understand it. What do you need? Maybe we can give each other massages tonight, and we don't need to talk. You know, find, you can create nourishing places to take that challenge or that challenge in the day and actually create more intimacy by it.
Yeah, that's a good excuse to do so, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah. So it's... But it's not bringing the angst or the anger into it, you know. It's because then,
correct,
you know, don't dump on your partner. You know, be honest and open and say, I do need help through this, and be willing to help. But don't go dumping on them, because it wasn't their fault that your day went wrong, and they're not there,
yeah,
as your garbage dump. So be careful of what, when you're sharing, as to that it doesn't become a blaming thing.
Correct, and that's where the difference with compassionate communication really comes in. That's a whole different form of communicating, where it is, I'm responsible for my feelings, you know, versus someone else.
You know, we talk a great deal in life about take a breath. You know, just stop, take a breath, take three deep breaths. It really oxygenates our body, it calms our mind, and it stops us from being reactionary. You know, to kind of then speaking in action. Taking a breath in everything we do in life is very important, but in any form of being and connected to your senses or your sensuality or anything, that breath work is really important, isn't it?
It's number one. It's,
yeah,
it's hugely important. And it's interesting, because our breath, it's the number one thing that we hold in control in order to control our feelings, in order not to feel, whether it's pleasure or pain, if people have a resistance to it. And so, you know, even when I work with breath, we can work in a way that you're actually clearing those underlying conditions, suppressions that are blocking you or making you act a certain way. And if someone's coming home from work and they're feeling that angst, the first thing I would have them do is to take 5 minutes, go in and by yourself. Don't run to your partner or your friends or your family, number one. Go in that room by yourself, sit, and just allow yourself to calmly breathe for 5 minutes to feel your body, soothe your nervous system, and then go greet home life from a different place.
Exactly. It's a very simple process. It doesn't require any equipment. It just requires you to be still. And it's, you know, with anything in life, isn't it? It's a key. Take a breath before you react. Because it's it changes your whole perception on everything, and it just gives you a tool to manage, you know, mm-hmm, what you need to do. But I also find I can understand how Tantra really works with the breathing, because, you know, you watch something or somebody excites you and it takes your breath away, and your whole breathing changes in anticipation. So, you know, the breath of life is on so many multiple levels, so very key.
Key. And imagine that same scenario where typically the nervousness sets in and our breath might get taken away. Yet imagine that we were so in tune with the breath that our breath didn't get taken away, but we actually breathe deeper, because what would happen is we would feel more turned on, we would feel more alive, and that would create a different connection right there in that moment.
So let's go and take you over to the bachelor and working with the farmer, and I don't remember which one it was, because I know it's not the one he ended up with. But you know how, I mean, at first start they have a camera on them and millions of people watching, so you know that can't be very comforting in the first place. But you know, the process that you took them through, kind of explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so we actually did a 90-minute session. They kept 10 minutes of it on the air, and that was an awakening intimacy session. And that session was to simply get in touch with parts of themselves that they were still hiding, that were keeping them from being in that fulfilling relationship that they've always wanted, and also to develop the sense of knowing each other and connecting to each other, to finding their voice again. And during every process, that's what it was. It was an exploration of, you know, I know Carly, the woman who was on the date, she had a huge self-transformation awakening during that session around her sexuality and her fears. And it was an exploration to find where they're uncomfortable, where they can say no. They had a huge process in it that they were able to find their voice and say, no, this is my boundary and this is my limit. And see each other in huge ways. And it was at the end of that session that it was said that they wouldn't have been able to get to that level of connection if they didn't go through those uncomfortable, it was uncomfortable for them. There are people who've never experienced such, you know, you can call it tantric, intimate processes. And they were beautifully went into that with trust. And so it was an amazing outcome. And him not choosing her, brilliant, because what they did is they got to know themselves more in the session.
Right. Yeah. And it wasn't a question of bringing them together. It was more of a discovery of themselves.
Correct. And for anyone who wants to see this, all the clips are up on my YouTube channel as well, for people who didn't see the password.
Right. Yes. And it's on the posting as well, so people will be able to see it there. And, you know, I mean, a brave thing for them to do, to put on the air, because that is something that is very, very intimate. Of course, when you're working with people, it's, you know, just you and them. And as you said, is it normally a 90-minute class? So what is your, you know, if somebody's coming to you with the need of help, what's your general procedure?
People work with me for a minimum of 3 months. They work with me for 3 to 6 months, depending on which program they choose. I rarely do just a single session, because it's not about fixing something. It's about creating sustainable change. And so throughout the processes, you know, they'll go into uncovering and identify their conditioned patterns, that their old emotional patterns that are kind of interfering with them fully being intimate with life and fully connected and being confident and in their power. They'll go through experiences of getting comfortable and knowing their sensuality, their sensory perception, and then start building new skills around this, how to compassionately communicate, how to create interdependent relationships, and how to go about that in life. And so again, it's a whole progression where the bachelor simply got a 90-minute session for that particular scenario, which is completely different.
And as you said, look at the transformation that happened in that short period of time. So, you know, being with you for 3 to 6 months, I mean, totally and utterly life-changing. And, you know, the bottom line is that we can't have a relationship with anyone or anything in life until we have a relationship with ourselves.
Yes. And remember that we're not just talking about romantic relationships here. It's our work, it's our family, it's our friendship.
It's our love for ourselves, for our, you know, a love for what we do. It's our authenticity. It's what I call, you know, being a diva, you know, living in our dreams, inspirations, visions, and aspirations. Until we can be authentic in that space and truly live our purpose in trust and value and love of self, we really cannot give to others. Mm-hmm. Not productively.
Yes, correct.
So the big thing that people have to realize, the most important thing they have to realize, is that one has to take time to invest in oneself. There isn't any quick downloadable app. There isn't just a quick book of how to it and that's it. That, you know, obviously the older you are, the more you have to undo. And that you have to be willing to invest in yourself, time, money, effort, in order to change your life. Because if you don't, your life is just going to carry on the same pattern of the whole time.
Correct. And it's a good question to ask yourself. It's like, can we look at ourselves like, wow, this is the number one relationship. This is, I am my lover, and I'm ready to invest. I'm ready to nourish. I'm ready to create the life, the voice, the interactions, the confidence that I've always wanted, and that does take the investment.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit. How did you enter this world?
It's a continuous evolution that I just love. You know, I'll start, you know, I shared a little bit about my childhood and what that kind of went through was going into my 20s, that I became a competitive bodybuilder. I competed on stage for 6 years. I owned a nutrition business, and I started helping people to feel their bodies again through that route, through developing a healthy relationship with their interaction with food, their interaction with their body, the way they move their body. Yet I was still kind of not fully connected to certain parts of my emotions or certain conditions from my past. And I pushed myself super hard, and I pushed myself so hard, I ran myself ragged, and I woke up one day and I could barely walk. And I put on about 30 pounds in 2 days, and my body was just, you know, it was responding to trying to keep itself safe. And it was at that moment in my 20s that I was just like, wow, this, I have a choice. I can either go really get really depressed, and because it felt like life had ended, or what is my body, because that's that intimate relationship, what is my body trying to tell me? What does it need? And what's my next step? And it was at that point that I was forced to feel. You know, I talked about people feeling more because it's so profoundly important to living, is I was supposed to feel things in a way I'd never felt, energetically, physically, emotionally. And it was at that moment where my business can have this huge explosive evolution. And I picked up and I moved to Europe. I sold my business, I sold everything I owned, and that was that moment that brought me to today. I just started studying with various healing modalities with various schools. I lived in the International School of Shiatsu and Cranial Sacral over in Switzerland, started studying with different shamans, lived in various tantric communities until today, and it's just a continuous evolution. But my passion is just helping people to feel safer in who they are and to be able to truly express who they are in life and their relationships.
And, you know, I mean, quintessentially, you are the diva. You are truly living your dreams, and you're inspiring others to see the vision that they can aspire to as well. So you have, you know, come into your diva, which is your truth. And, you know, that authenticity of living, you know, as a diva who lives in the dreams and is inspired by life and, you know, can see the visions of tomorrow and aspires always to kind of evolve and grow is the very honesty of living life in your purpose, isn't it? To who you used to be and to who you are now is a journey, and it's a journey that you were willing to invest in yourself to get to, that now you can in your truth be able to help other people so much more productively. And that, I think, that is key to anything in life. As people, we want to help. We want to be of service, but we ended up being of servitude. When we truly embrace our authenticity and our calling and our purpose in life, which is a journey, which is an investment, when we get there and we start living purpose, life becomes so much more meaningful.
Yes, and then it's juicier, it's more attractive. It's more attractive to people around us. And yeah, life turns, I say it turns from black and white to high definition color.
Yes. Yeah, I like that. That's good. And also, the sheer, we live in a most extraordinarily beautiful planet. And there are some unbelievable human beings on this planet doing wonderful things, but we've got to get out of this human nature of focusing on the bad and not nurturing the good. And when we embrace that love and that honesty and that tranquility within ourselves and live in our purpose, we're living on a vibration that's totally different level. And we just don't allow that disruption in there, do we? Because we know that it's a contaminant.
Yeah. And then we can embrace that, even those momentary issues or challenges, again, from a whole different space. We have more capacity. Our vibration is different, because now we can, again, understand those places rather than allowing them to weigh us down.
And when you're in discord or dysfunction, you feel so alone and you feel in the darkness. When you've embraced and taken that journey and living in your own light now, you know you're never alone. You're always respect for being the individual you are, but you're such a part of a collective energy now that when you need something, you just need to put it out there and you'll find that person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Because you're open to it. You're more open to receiving that.
You're on the same wavelength. You're traveling the same,
yes.
You know, the same vibrations. So, you know, it's there. So when people are willing to let that guard down and you know, do the work to get there, that intimacy with themselves, that love and joy and importance of self, they realize how then it can serve the community. And it's a wonderful thing to actually see somebody finally come into their blossom, isn't it?
It's such a gift, such a gift.
And you know that now you have somebody else in the world that has become a contributor to the world, because they're a person lives in, you know, solution and good vibrations, as opposed to somebody living in discord, which has always got static. So
and they're sharing their gifts now, and I said the same. We were never meant to hide our radiance, and now these people are blossoming. They're shining. They're affecting other people,
and that empowering, you know, not only of themselves, but of the people that they then inspire, or the people that they touch. Just even you can see the difference between somebody walking down the street and just smiling at somebody and somebody radiating that smile, and what a difference it can mean to someone. Because when you look at somebody as they're passing and you give them that radiant smile or a hello, how are you today? They feel seen. They feel heard. They feel a part of something. We've got to stop putting our heads down, stop putting our heads on the damn phone and really interact with each other in an invitational way.
Yes, indeed. Agreed.
Now, you know, a lot of thing that a lot of people don't kind of get is that spirituality and religion is just quintessentially kind of a different perspective. Religion is a little more organized. Spiritual is living in your divine energy, and it's in a state of knowingness, a state of truth that doesn't have to be defined or clarified. It just simply is. When you're working with people and you're talking, you know, sensuality, sexuality, and spirituality, do you have people who, you know, are of particular religious domains finding that hard to embrace?
I don't, because, you know, my work doesn't necessarily get into, again, talking about religion or you know, honing in on spirituality. It's that spirituality is finding that connection within themselves. So then their beliefs or even their connection, why they're praying, whatever religion that they are, it actually feels more connected for them, which is empowering for them as well, because that's what they want during their prayers,
right,
and their services.
More connection with their own divinity.
Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, I love the work that you're doing. And, of course, you do so much, you know, the shiatsu massage. Cranial scleral therapy. I'd like you to tell people what that is. And I think it's absolutely wonderful. It's quite incredible. Would you kind of describe that a little bit for people?
I'll describe it a little bit. Is, you know, one, I had the opportunity of when I lived in Switzerland to live in the International School of Cranial Sacral, and every day I got to sit there and be like a sponge and receive and to learn from these profound people. And my experience of cranial sacral, one, it's this gentle approach of working with the fluid system in the body, that there's someone there simply holding space. Obviously, they're holding the person various holds along the feet, along the sacrum, and along the occipital around the crown. Yet what they're truly doing energetically is they're holding space. They're not truly doing anything for our system to find harmony again, to start to come back into alignment, to feel safe, that it goes into the energetic body, it goes into the emotional body, and things just kind of find their way. You know, I remember one of my teachers working on me and giving me, you know, cranial sacral therapy. And I remember there was one of my joints was a bit out, my hip was out, and simply by him holding through a touch energetically and just holding space with his presence, my hip, you could feel it just slide back into where it needed to be. Because, again, it's created this safe space for this innate intelligence, I'll call it, inside of me, just to find its safety again and come back to where it needs to be versus the holding patterns that our physical body goes into due to the underlying emotional trigger.
And also,
I don't know if that helps.
Oh, I mean, I've had it done, and it released a chronic pain I had, and it was, you know, just something that for 9 months it didn't even come anywhere near me, and I need to do it again because it really was amazing. And I think this touch on this, there's a lot of the time that people cannot find that intimacy or, you know, connect back with their sensuality or anything, is because they may be in physical pain. But the releasing of pain is a very sensual experience, isn't it? But people are scared. They're scared to do anything because of the pain. But when you, if you can release that pain in a way, it becomes a very sensual release.
Yes. And I'm going to say, in the work many do alternatively, is, and the work that I do, is what we relate to is there's an underlying emotional pattern and reasoning before the physical pain shows up. And so that's the intimate and the sensual part, because when you start letting go of that physical pain, it's because that emotional trigger is starting to open and release. Then you're creating this open flow of your chi, of your energy, to flow through your channels again and through your body, which awakens your sensory perception, which makes you more sensitive, and that's a sensual experience.
And it's, again, a very wonderful experience. So, I mean, it actually would be absolutely, you know, wonderful if each one of you, if your lovers, you to your lover, you both knew the areas, because everybody has an issue somewhere in their body. And if you learnt actually how to release it, it is a wonderful central and a wonderful gift that you can give to each other. You know, just spending time on releasing that that energy around that area. And it's, you know, a wonderful thing to give to your partner, at the same time a very central gift to give your partner.
Yes, and it creates more intimacy and more connection, for sure.
Yes. So, you know, the whole thing about wham, bang, thank you, ma'am, is passé. There's nothing to say that you can't have a quickie now and again, but really, if you're really wanting to have a good relationship, that intimacy has to be there. And as we said before, it doesn't have to be you physically in each other's presence. It can be through messages through the day, or if you are working together, the gentle touch, the smile, that little knowing look, and that willing to be with each other in breath, in soft touch, in expectation, without the jumping in the sack, and that it's so much more meaning to a relationship.
Yes, and you're going to feel more pleasure. So if you're really wanting more pleasure, know that those are the steps that you're actually going to feel more of that.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very important, folks. If you want the ultimate pleasure, again, it's an investment of time with each other. And with yourself, coming honestly to, you know, into that intimacy, with which you don't nurture it, it doesn't survive. You've got to feed it, you've got to water it, you've got to love it for something to grow. And never ever bring expectation into it. I expect you to do this, I expect you to do that, because that starts causing a conflict, doesn't it?
It does, because think of what happens when we start to put those expectations that we're no longer actually present. So we're no longer actually even feeling the joy of the moment. And we start to project into the future, and that will automatically create a disconnection.
Exactly. So you work with people over 3 or 6 months. What would be the first step that you would take with someone?
The very first step is actually a consultation. And so people, they go to my website, they fill out the questionnaire. We want a consultation. We want to see if it's a match. I want to find out people's needs, where they're at. And that's the basic step to take. And then from there, we decide what program fits their needs. If people are locally, or if I travel quite a bit, we meet in person. If they're distant, I have clients in Austria, I have clients in Canada, we meet via Skype. But that would be the first step.
Right. To find out, of course, if there is a compatible even vibration between you and the client, because you need to have that there, don't you? Otherwise, you will not be able to reach them.
Absolutely, which is why people apply. It's not just anyone, because it might not be. I might be able to refer them to someone else who might be a better match.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's connection. We're talking about communication, we're talking about connecting. And if you need to connect vibrationally before you can connect emotionally. And it's being willing to be open, willing to be vulnerable, coming into something without any prejudgment of yourself, because you're not there to judge, you're there to take that judgment away, because that judgment is what's blocking their emotion, isn't it?
It is. So my invitation, let's go into that and figure out why that's there in the first place and kind of what that judgment is actually hiding.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so again, in that vulnerability, people are going to have to be willing to expose their emotions. But I think this is again something to do with society, where society is, like, oh, don't tell, oh, you did what? How bad on you? And we allow all that society to pass judgment, and we make something that we do or how we feel so bad that it gets a momentum of its own, and really it isn't a big issue. And so if we diffuse that, we actually kind of look at it for what it is and go, really, that was truly the mountain out of a little molehill.
Yeah, so it diffuses it and expose it. That's fun to show, because if someone, there's two different ways. If someone hides vulnerability and hides their fears and their emotions, people around that person are going to feel unsafe, and that's how the world typically runs. Yet if we can start to be transparent and honest and responsible, they start to be diffused, and people start to feel attractive and attracted to and safe again around people.
Exactly. So, we want to trust. We want to walk life in vulnerability. We want to walk through life in openness and ready to receive. And you can't do that if you're always on guard, or if you're always in judgment, or if you're always in fear. And we need to remove those things. So, you have your awareness of when danger is around, but that awareness doesn't dictate your life, because you're living in light and good vibration. And quite honestly, darkness doesn't like to go there anyway. So, if you want to get rid of those fears, then you have to take the steps. And this is a wonderful journey, I think, in doing it. It's going to help every aspect of their life, isn't it?
It's just going to awaken all aspects of their life. It's going to be your fuel. It's going to be your fuel for everything that you do.
Yeah. And that's very, very important. You can't have a successful career, a sustainable one. You can't have successful relationships. You cannot reach the goals that you desire for yourself until you are willing to fuel your own tank, with loving vibrations, with true vision, not that expectation, and the true authenticity of your own soul, your own heart, your own spirit. And we have to be willing to take that journey if we really want to achieve what we want to do in life. And so again, it's a little investment in oneself, and but the payoff is a lifetime of living in purposeful, meaningful joy, isn't it?
It isn't so worth it.
Absolutely. So would you please share with us your site and how people can get hold of you?
Yes, my website is ZipporaIntimacy.com. That's ZiporaH Intimacy.com. And they can email me anytime, and the email is actually the same. It's Zipora@ZiporaIntimacy.com. And right now, the best thing to do is send me a message. Love to have a phone call or a consultation. I'm going on the road in June. I will be in, my first stop is Vancouver, Canada. So I will be in Vancouver for 4 to 5 weeks, and I'm particularly going there to see people and work with people. So I'm available at that time for in-person work.
No, well, I hope you're available for a coffee, my dear, because you're on my turf.
Yes, I would love that.
Definitely,
Absolutely.
absolutely. The I love interviewing people who I said have embraced their diva. You are your work because you are your authenticity. You practice what you are preaching, and you can see that radiance of that love that you have for what you do, for who you are, and what you want other people to achieve. And that definitely resonates with you. And it's again, it's not about the sex. It's about that sensual, sexual, spiritual intimacy with self, with life, so you can have it with others. And it's a beautiful thing that you're doing, and thank you for doing it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you for having me here today.
Absolutely wonderful. Well, folks, don't be afraid. As she said, invite fear in, have a conversation. What really is that fear all about? And only when you're willing to kind of really dissect it and put it where it belongs and empower yourself by loving yourself, are you truly going to find that love in life that you want and love of life? It's very, very important you find it within yourself before you can find it with anyone else. Well, thank you so much. I look forward to meeting you here in Vancouver. And until next time, folks, it's all starting off by being kind to yourself. Have a good one.